Welcome to Deeper Diamond. I'm your host, Jay Walt, and this is episode 38. I want to wish a happy holidays to everyone. And I'm here with the world's greatest co-host, Dawn.
Hi, Joe.
I got to give her, 5 seconds so everybody can go, ah.
Really, Joe?
And then we move on.
You got it
like that. I want to thank all our podcast listeners, wherever you're listening, social media. Thank you for just taking the time out to listen to us. Mm-hmm. Any questions and concerns you may have, you can put it via WhatsApp, 954-388-8780. And who is here today?
I know, right? You missed the last time, Joe. You missed the last time.
I know, but she knows she's PJ for me.
PJ, right?
And so, yeah, man.
Yes.
It's Pastor Jen. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Always. Good. It's always good to see you because every time I see you, you always have a story for me. Which is true. It is true. Well, like I said, before we get started, let's go ahead and get a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that you can give us to take the time to know you. You're that every time there is life, there is hope. And we want to thank you for giving us that, Lord, that we continue to do the Great Commission, Lord, that you assigned us to do. That we continue to spread the gospel through this medium, system, or whatever case that we can do to spread the word. Continue to bless our family, bless our church. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, well, Pastor Jen, I have a question for you.
Before
we actually get into your sermon, so tell us, how do you and your family celebrate the holidays?
Well, it kind of goes back to what we were in Hawaii. My family, my father comes from, he's the oldest of a family of 11. Mm-hmm. And my mother is an only child. Okay. And so Christmas to them, when they got married and so forth, I will always remember Christmas, especially growing up, as going to my grandma's house, my father's side, and because he has 10 other siblings with their children.
Wow.
It was a huge thing. And every single person would have a gift.
Oh, wow.
So it was like this room full of food and presents piled to the ceiling. Wow. And it was just like a family, a complete family affair. And we did that. We remember that, all us kids running around, cousins. Of course, everyone grows up and has families of their own and begins to move away.
Right.
And so this is what we took when that is what Christmas has been to me when everyone started moving out, because I was one of the younger cousins. Mm-hmm. It became a season of giving. My mom, being who she was at the conference and head of a lot of ministries at church, it was her way of thanking people for what they had done for her in service and with her in service throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So we'd take that time and we would wrap like over 100 something gifts.
Wow.
And then go deliver it during the last 2-3 weeks of December as a way of thanking people for ministry. And I kind of got into this when I was, because I was over some ministries before we left for Hawaii. So, you know, I got into that, when we left, we're on our own, right? We've been on our own since 2004. Mm-hmm. And so Christmas for us has been trying to recultivate that family tradition of being around people that we know and love. But then I have always thought about, okay, who has really helped me spread the word this year? Who has been just impactful in spreading the gospel? So so we go out and I think it through, and then we go out and we give. and we say thank you. So Christmas for us has been a tradition of combination of thankfulness and just being family.
Traditions,
we have regular traditions like, you know, the tree and the trimmings and the decor. Not going to show it now because I don't have it all up. But and the food, obviously we go into a food coma. And we don't do a turkey, we do brisket like my in-laws do. Brisket. So that's been good. It's been good.
Awesome. Nice.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, your title, you have it saying the reason for all seasons, but then you change it a little bit and add, of course, the main ingredient, Jesus, reason for all seasons, right? Now, you jumped into Isaiah and you talked about Emmanuel. What brought you to these chapters in your sermon?
To Isaiah, because I wanted to point out that when we think about the Christmas story, everyone always goes towards first, you know, what was it like, you know, the whole birth thing, angel appearing, speaking to Joseph and Mary, and that's it, right? That's all it is. This is where the birth of Jesus started. But I wanted to point out that it was heralded hundreds of years before that, that people were looking for this Messiah, looking for this Emmanuel. And it was promised that there would be somebody who was going to come. They didn't know when, but there was going to be someone that would come into their midst. And so I thought about how am I going to point out, instead of just going straight to the Jesus story, how am I going to point out that he was foretold and expected so many years ago, so many years prior? And so that's why I went back into where his name was first mentioned, what he was going to be and what he was meant to be.
Exactly.
Okay. I was noticing as the chapters you were going through, you were talking about the role. You know, like the, I think it was Isaiah 9:6. You were talking about the name of the baby Jesus. And then you went to Zephaniah. You talked about the role. At the time, God was in the midst because he was considered the mighty one.
Yes.
And that's the Messiah.
And
but what really struck me was Matthew, verse 1 and 20, I believe, right? When the angel visited Joseph and Mary. And the main concern was Joseph not being humiliated publicly for his wife.
Right.
At the time. What do you think about that? I mean,
about which? About his concern?
His concern, yes. Because of the, you know, being that the angel visited him, because he had a choice to make at that time.
Right. You know, it. Should have hit me a long time ago, but it hit me because you read it so much, you take it for granted that you know the story, right? But when you're reading it and you read again the struggle that he had to go through, it is amazing that Christ the babe was brought forth in a time that we can still all relate to the social issues of that time. You know, he see, if he had married her and, you know, people figured out, oh, well, here's a baby, that's immediate adultery. And they would both get stoned for this. You know, so he had to think about not only what's going to happen with her, what's going to happen with him, you know, his reputation. He doesn't want her damaged. I don't know how she was like 12, 15 something years old. He doesn't want her sullied. And I think just when I looked at it again, I thought, wow, virgin, and here she is pregnant, and these are the same issues that we're dealing with now. You know, still the same. It doesn't matter how liberal we have become or how our views has changed towards issues like these, yes, more supportive, but at the core of it all is still that shame and that guilt. You know, and we're still, even in 2020, we're still like, oh, they got
Yeah.
He got pregnant. And yeah. you think about what he's trying to do here, how thousands of years ago, you're mm-hmm. going back and you're like, wow, Father, you really covered in yeah. your story, you really covered who you were going to save. Because right. her position covers all these women who have become
yep.
pregnant mm-hmm. out of wedlock. Yep. His position yep. covers all these men who have also fallen into
mm-hmm.
things, right? And or they're trying to save reputations.
Yeah.
And so it is just so amazing that Joseph would still have this mindset, and he would still... The angel could have just come to Mary.
Yep.
Just her,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the angel had to prepare him as well. Like, look, I know that this is what's going to happen. And this is, I know that you're thinking that this is what is going to be perceived of you. And it's going to follow you
mm-hmm.
your whole life until your son grows up to be who he is meant to be.
Right.
But.
Right.
But stick with us.
Okay.
You know, stick with me.
So I wanted to ask you, Pastor Jen, actually, when you first started your sermon, you talked about all these different names
mm-hmm.
for Jesus. Why did you talk about all the different names?
To show what he was going to be, what he was meant to be. And I realize as I'm saying this now, I should have explained more why I am telling the names, mm-hmm. but you obviously we know that the ultimate thing is he's going to be a mighty one, savior, forgiver of sins.
Mm-hmm.
But what else was he going to be?
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be a comforter. Did we know why he was going to be a comforter? We had no idea that someday down the line he was going to be crucified,
right.
But he was going to be comforter. He was going to be counselor,
mm-hmm.
everlasting father. Mm-hmm. And just hitting it when I'm reading all these names, I'm like, wow, these writers, these prophets, they, however God spoke to them in that time, hundreds of years before the Messiah was to come. And I can just imagine these prophets telling their children and the generations after that, that there's going to be somebody who's going to be all these things to us.
Mm-hmm.
You just wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I had to go through all the names, what he was meant to be, mm-hmm. what he was going to be, and ultimately what he was.
Yeah. You did mention about the word becoming flesh in John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know you described how the deity became humanity
mm-hmm.
in this bit of darkness, how he came to hope. That was basically, that what stood out to me, because that's what he came for.
Mm-hmm.
For this. So now we can move on to, I guess, Mark, the man in Capernaum.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you pick that picture?
That particular story.
Yeah, that particular story. Yeah.
I knew this question was going to come. So going back to the word that became flesh, I mentioned that I had to let you know what he was going to be, mm-hmm. right? And so when you think about everything that the writers had said, the prophets had said, this is what he's going to be. And then the word became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So all that mm-hmm. they had heard about through all these years and was hoping for finally came in the flesh
yes.
to walk amongst them.
Right.
And so now when I think about the story, yes, Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to redeem us. This was his purpose. But was it only, he can do it all. He can do everything that, and he has done everything that he has set out to do, except come back yet. We're waiting for that, you know, but he has done it all. But who are we then? Are we just sitting here receiving everything that's supposed to happen?
Wow.
You know, are we just taking the gift?
Right.
And this yeah. gift that is free, that came, like we heard how he came, that walked the life, that suffered it all, and then he gave this gift that is free, then what are we supposed to do with this? Mm. How can we say that we are receivers of the love of Jesus when we have a hard time reflecting out the love of Jesus? Mm. How can we fully accept this gift of grace and love when we battle and keep it within ourselves and not share it? And so the reason why I particularly came to this verse is there has been so many things that has been happening, and we're watching it in our community, right? You've been a part of the food drives and so forth. And especially, of course, I've seen it throughout the summer as we've gone to deliver food, and Joe, you've gone to deliver things as well. And there's all this hurt. And what has really been speaking to me is we do it so well. Plantation Church does it so well. We do community and mercy ministries so well. We're feeding homeless in Miami, feeding homeless in Fort Lauderdale. We have an orphanage. Mm-hmm. And we have fed thousands of people mm-hmm. just in this year alone. Right. But then what gets to me is we're up there as the pastors or whoever, and we're saying, if you need something during this time, call us. Please let us know. Let us know what you need. But when the calls come very timidly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so sorry to bother. I know that we are in the midst of pandemic and we're trying to show feed everybody, but can you just, and these are our members.
Yeah, our members. And that was one of the things I saw when we were doing the food distribution.
Yes.
Watching some of our members coming through those lines.
Yeah.
Right.
That crushed me. I saw one family that just crushed me. I told her, look, you call me. You just call me, because nobody wants to come out and say, you know, I don't have any food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So right. Devastating.
And it hurts. You know, it really hurts, because, you know, when you get those side calls or when you have people come and whisper to you in the food drive, hey, can you put aside something?
Yeah.
Can you put aside something to me?
Yeah.
Why are you pulling me aside? Just come straight to me and say, hey, Pastor Jen, I need food. But if you feel the shame to pull me aside, it's make sure nobody sees you talking to me. Or you say out loud, hey, I have a friend. I have like five friends that need food. But I know it because I've been talking to you. I've been hearing you on these prayer lines saying, I lost my job. Yeah. I lost this. And I know that part of this food is coming to you. Mm. You don't got to fake the funk with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. tell me what you need so I can help you.
I
wanted to say, you know, ladies, with the public perception, people just can't get past that.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, you have to zero on the need.
Yes.
That's what's important.
I think it's also the fact of the shame, because people do make you feel shameful.
Yes,
that's true.
They do.
And they say, really? I don't really think so. I didn't know that they were going through this. And they talk about you all the time.
Yes.
You have this kind of like, people are talking about me. I feel so embarrassed.
Yes.
But I'm going through hardship. I don't have money for my light bill. I don't have money to buy food for my children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go to someone and say, I'm going through this, is like such a terrible experience that people don't want to do it.
And to not know,
yeah.
I mean, you feel safe and you feel, okay, let me go, safe enough. You feel safe enough, right? Mm. But then what will this person turn around and say about you? And there were some people in our food from our church who, Pastor Jen, why are you giving to them?
Yes.
They got a nice house.
Yes.
Pastor Jen, look at that. Look at that Beamer or look at that. Look at that Jetta that they're driving. Yeah. You know, I don't know why. I don't know why you're going to deliver to those people. And I have had to gently put people in their place and say, you may see You may supposedly see their success, but you have no idea what they are going through. And it is not our place to judge whether they need food or not. Listen, we went to feed the homeless yesterday. Okay.
But and the one thing I noticed about it is that it also causes people not to return.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It, because you get treated like that.
Yeah.
And I've received, in those food drives, I've received calls like, Pastor Jen, I was so hurt. This is what happened to me from our members. And this is the reaction that I got when I took a piece of fruit. And, and you know, I'm just like, what? I am so sorry. And I'm like, let me try to rectify this. But then I have to, so what's hard for me is then I have to go to the members who have caused the hurt.
Caused the problem.
Right? Yeah. And it's hard for me because, and maybe it's culture.
Yeah.
Maybe it's culture because I've always been taught to respect my elders.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the ones who have caused the hurt are older than me.
Older than you.
Should know. And for me, who comes from my own culture and has to say, I have to put all that behind me.
Yeah.
And I have to put on my pastor hat.
Yep.
And I have to say, listen, this is what I heard. Maybe what happened that in that moment?
Yeah.
Can you tell me the context?
Yes.
And even though I hear the context, and there's could kind of be something like, well, you know, they're well off, or they don't need I hate it when when we're going to serve people and our own people are taking it.
But isn't this,
I know they're taking stuff, but isn't this what it's for?
Aren't we
supposed to be, how can we be feeding people and not feed our own?
Exactly.
And this has me. This has plagued me this whole, and I haven't been able to very much articulate it because at one point, you know, yes, I am your pastor. I don't want to scold you. You know, I don't want to reprimand you. We were at the homeless feeding yesterday, and I looked at these three old men sitting on a bench, and they're just waiting, and this line is going a little bit down the street. So I looked at these men. I said, hey, do you want to join the line? How can we help you? What can I get for you?
Yeah.
And one of this man says, yeah, I did ask somebody, one of your helpers there, what could I have XYZ? And I was told, go stand in line.
Wow.
But I have a bum leg. And I can't stand that long. And so I guess I just sit here and not get anything. And so, the table was like 4 feet away, 5 feet away. So I go and I'm said, hey, and I talked to somebody. I'm like, hey, can we make a bag, you know? For these men. And the response that came back to me was, you know, we told them to get in line.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah.
My thought was
like, what
do I have to get in line to get? I will get in line, but I'm thinking, yo, we are out here to serve.
Amen.
And I get there's a protocol, but if there are people saying, hey, could I please
have
you turn around and give?
Yeah.
So I got in line. I got in line. But at the same time, by the point that I got in line, some of the things that they, so what I didn't want to do was go behind the line, you know, behind the people serving. I'm like, hey, give me some of that. Give me some of that. I didn't want to do that either.
Right.
Because then there are people then be coming to me to like, hey, can you, you know? So I wanted to make an example, still go in line. But by the time I got to where the place was, and I turned around and I said, okay, so what do you need? The sizes and things that those men could have used had already been taken up.
Yeah.
And so my heart is like,
I know, right?
How long were you sitting there?
Yeah.
That something could have been given to you.
I know.
Yeah.
And we are the ones who are serving.
Yeah.
And there's still a, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a heart thing, you know? I think we do this thing on autopilot half the time. We go and we feed the homeless, like you say. We go this place and feed the homeless, and oh, we feel good now. But it's not about what we feel. We're not being compassionate enough to everyone around us. Yeah. And so we're not changing. Our mentality doesn't really change every time we do these things. We've got to get down there with the right mindset. Everything, even if we're tired, hungry, whatever it is. Look and see, who are you serving? How can we minister to you a little bit more? But we never want to do that because, okay, we got to get out of here by a certain time. And I've done my thing for today, and it's Sabbath. And wasn't that a great Sabbath?
Yes.
A great thing on Sabbath.
There you go. It's a checklist.
Do a great thing on Sabbath?
Yeah.
Foolishness. Why bother?
But you know one thing, Don? I've noticed. I've fed many a times the plantation down with Jesse. Mm-hmm. And you've never seen a woman so structured.
Yes.
But the thing about it is that we need to check ourselves first. Pray within ourselves first.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Say, Lord, take away anything that's not
anything
like you.
Anything that will hinder me from doing what you
what
want.
What I need to see.
Yeah.
Through your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then you'll see what it means to serve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that also got to me, so yes, there's that I don't even know how to say this without like being like shut down by our members later, but it has to be said. Mm-hmm. So the thing that also bothers me is this, so there's all that I just mentioned, but so you're serving, you are called to serve, you say, you know, there's a checklist and everything. But what I have noticed as I have gone to give, and you say, I get the secret phone calls, okay, can I have this and can I have that? And I go and give. There was Women's Ministries Day. Mm-hmm. We had and I said it in the sermon, had these baskets we're going to give out, had a plan, we're going to get it done in X amount of time because we have a lot to do. Armando's going to drive, and this was our plan, we're going to go and do this, we're going to spend only X amount of minutes and go. But it wasn't like that, because I know that in my food drives, when I have to go deliver, I have to deliver like 20 in you know, the time to drive, the time to take stuff out and give and talk a little bit. It's a lot, right? Yeah. And so I'm thinking, okay, we got 8. I don't want to take up everybody's time today. So let's get this done. It's going to do this the way I do my food drives. Yeah. But it didn't happen that way. And I explained that in the sermon, that people were looking for that connection. They didn't care they were like, wow, let's check out this huge basket. One person later told me, I have never, ever, ever, ever received a gift like that.
Wow.
With no strings attached.
With just
I'm thinking of you. I have never received that.
Wow.
You know, and so after this day, after hearing all these stories, and one of them said, 5 minutes of us, you know, me and my sister, we looked at each other, because whenever people say, come into the house, and it's COVID,
right?
You know, it's COVID, and you're like, but you got to go, you know, you got to go. And these meetings get longer and longer.
Right.
And one literally, we got in the door and she just started crying. Like right there, just sobbing her heart out. I'm so glad you're here. Oh, you don't understand what's been going on. And then she had said to me, because I had called her for something completely different, a completely different thing, like 1 or 2 months before. And when she's sharing with us what's going on, and I said, how come you haven't, I mean, you know, she's like, I'm so glad you're here to talk to me, Pastor Jen. I said, how come you didn't say anything before? I could have helped you. I mean, we could have gone through this process so you're not bottling all this up inside. She says, you know, when you called for that other thing a couple of months ago, my first impression was like, oh no, Pastor Jen knows what's going on. Yeah. And yeah. I don't want her to know. And how shameful. Oh. And I said, do you know me? Yeah. I mean, and she goes, no, but that's what I thought. Yes. And I just couldn't, I was so scared. I was so scared when I talked to you the first time. And when you didn't mention any of my problems and you asked me something else, I was so relieved.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, yes, but I don't know. I could have at least started talking to you. We could have, helped you heal a little, and we talked through that, and as we came out, and this was almost a little repetitive, not the same things, but at the end of the day, the message was, I cannot be real with my brothers and sisters.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have a mask and I'm afraid to take it off for fear of the shame and the judgment that is going to be given to me. And this comes right after the other. And when I've got, especially, you know, some people who've got COVID or whatever, it's like, oh, no, Pastor Jen, you go give it to that family. They need it more, that family out in the community. So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get lambasted. I know it is so good what we're doing with the community. However, what we do with the homeless and all that, it's beautiful, but they're on a day-to-day survival, right? In order to be able to be impacted, they're going to have to see us every day or whatever. So right now they are just thankful for whatever group, whatever church comes to their corner. It's impacting them. They're thankful, but it's I'm so thankful that I got food for today. What's my food for tomorrow?
What's tomorrow?
Right? So it's not, yes, we are giving. Yes, we are helping, but it's not a spiritual impacting just yet. Won't be unless they see us face to face every single day. We're in their face, but you know, that's hard for any organization to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's not as impactful to them. It's almost kind of like in Jesus' day when they came for healing, it was almost like they're due, like, oh, finally someone's gonna be here to take care of us. But you have this with the homeless and everything, and it's wonderful, but what about our people who are watching us, our people who are hurting, who can't feed their children, whose lights are about to gonna God, when I say our people, I'm talking about our brothers and sisters in the pews. What about them? And they're looking at us giving and giving and giving out, but they're sitting there thinking, can I have some of that?
Can I have some of that?
But they can't say anything
because of what the person next
because
to
of this
next to yes you is gonna say.
Stigma. Yeah. The stigma that's gonna happen. That's why this is why I brought it back to Mark, right? Because here we are accepting. Jesus is saying, take this gift of my salvation, take what I'm going to give you, go and be Jesus, be my hands and feet. Is the commission that he's given us. And I'm looking at Mark, and this is where Jesus has to say to these scribes and Pharisees, listen, let me remind you that I am the Son of God, that I can forgive and that I can also heal. And maybe the big thing was that he could get up and walk, but I don't think that was the big thing of the story. I think the big thing of the story is the friends who took him. This man can't do anything for himself. Anything. But they go and they bring him. They don't turn around, but they go and break down someone else's roof.
I know, right?
You know, they go, and where are we So this is there for their friend. Yeah. Can we say that as a church, we are doing the same for our brothers and sisters? We're doing it for the community.
Yep.
But can we say that we are going, can we cross those bridges, whatever hurt that we've inflicted on each other or whatever perceived notions that we have about each other, can we break down those barriers? Can we break down that house and say, brother, sister, what do you need?
What do you need?
Yeah.
How can I help you?
Yeah.
And that has been the thing that's been just on my back for all these months. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think I'll care if I'm going to be hated for saying this, Lord Jesus, but I got to say it. I got to say it because what are we doing?
Yeah, what are we
We're doing it so well with the outside community.
Yep.
But what are we doing for our brethren? And wouldn't we be more impactful?
Yep.
When when we have healed the rifts, when we have fed spiritually, when we have fed physically, when we have said, brother, I am pulling you out of that hole. And that brother is going to go, oh my goodness, I am loved. The joy that these women that we brought the baskets to, the joy of the people of our church members who've gotten food is not because of the thing that we have brought. Yes, thank God we have food. Thank you, Jesus, for answering that today. Yeah. It is, wow, I'm loved.
Yes.
Wow, you're thinking of me?
Yes.
Wow, the church has given me this money to pay my light bill?
Light bill. Yeah.
And when they receive that, when they're thinking like, oh, my brother, sister loves me. God loves me. Oh, God, you thank you for this miracle. Yes. Now it moves them. It moves them to go, what now can I do to reflect the love that I've just given and now go do it to somebody who doesn't know and pass it on?
Yes.
That's why I brought it back to Mark.
Yeah. Powerful.
It is. Sermon number two.
I know, right? I know. It's just something. It's something that I've seen also in the church. Something that but I just still think it's like, why do we, sometimes I have to wonder, why do we go to church if that's how we behave towards our brother and sisters?
Good question.
And then we just think, well, we are on the path because we're going to church and we're doing our ministry and we're doing all the things we're supposed to do.
Yes.
God knows us. We know this. So then what happens when God comes again and he says, but I don't know you? We'd be like, what? How much stuff have I done?
Yes.
Sobering. Very sobering. Yeah.
We don't want that.
Exactly. No, at all.
Exactly. So a segue into your story about the car and you even saying, what is everybody going to think when they see me with a new car? And wondering, how does she have money to have that and all the children and the other cars? And how has she managed it? Why did you think that? Why did you think that?
She got her kids to work.
Why did you think that?
Yes.
Talking about everybody else, but why did you think that?
Why did I think that? And, you know, my friend who saw this sermon and came back and we talked about this, she said to me, she said, I hear you. I heard every word of your sermon. And she said, but I want to tell you, okay, listen, this is unscripted now. This is not what I was planning to tell you all. She said, and it came out, and I know it partly came out in the sermon, right? She said, Jen, we got to work on this, you and I. She said, whenever I hear all these stories of how God has blessed you incredibly, like out of the clear blue sky, bam, there you go. And she goes, and I've known you for years and you've always been reluctant to take the gift.
I know, right?
You've been scared to take the gift. You do eventually after, I know you go through prayer, arguing with God, and it'll take you days or weeks to accept the gift. And she goes, why? She goes, what I see is you don't believe you're worthy enough to accept that gift. And I, Sister Dawn, Brother Joe, I sat there on the phone last night and I went silent.
Of course.
Yep. And she's like, hello, hello, Earth to Jen, are you there? And I began crying. You know, and she goes, you don't believe that these gifts that are given to you by God, that you don't believe you are worthy of it. Why not? And what I told her was, you know, it's been such a hard life for all of us, seven of us. We have always been living hand to mouth for the past 21 years. Hand to mouth, always looking, always. Yes, we know. And God has answered all. There are points where like, okay, well, where's that rent going to come in? Come on, God, let's do this. Let's do this. And I will always have a story because God has always answered. But at the same time, I said, you know, I have felt like this. Should I dare say this? I have felt like a charity case. I have felt like a charity case because, you know,
you know,
our car, we don't have the kids. We don't have a car in England. In England, we're busing, we're walking a mile down to the grocery store and we make friends and someone takes pity on us and they're like, you know, I'm about to get a new car. Here, take my old one. You need this. I go, and this has happened over and over and over again throughout the years. All our cars break down. Someone's like, oh, I've been impressed. You know, I'm here. Here's $1,000 toward a new used car. Go do this. And I have felt like, although God has blessed us, I have felt like a charity case. Because you have all these people. Just handing stuff. And I am blessed. Don't get me wrong. I am so blessed with all these gifts. And while, and she goes, but Jen, you have said, and you have preached that God has answered, that you have had this need and God has answered through person A, B, C, or D. How would you still feel like a charity case? And I said, because of what I hear in the background.
Absolutely.
Because of people saying, oh, look, all the Hernandezes have to do is lose a job.
And everybody.
And suddenly everybody is donating food to them. Or all the Hernandezes have to say is, hey, I can't pay my son's tuition. And boom. And how did they get that? How did they get that? I go, I have told my mom takes my stories and she's just like amazed. And she goes back to our home church and she says, church, let me tell you what's been going on with my daughter and her family. And we know we've been praying about them, but let me tell you how God has blessed. Several times she's shared some of these amazing stories. And you know what has come back to her a couple times? You know what, sister, you shouldn't be sharing that because all it looks as if is God is only blessing your daughter.
We have a problem within our church.
How come God is not blessing us? So you should, you know, you should tone it down on sharing the blessings because you are making the rest of us feel as if God is not blessing us.
Oh, man.
You know, so I hear these things and there are so many other things that God has done for us that sometimes I just keep mum about so that there's not a bad perception about it.
Once again,
you know?
But you know what? God blesses us in so many different ways. And Amen. When I heard your story yesterday, I remembered how God had blessed me with the same car situation and the same kind of feelings of what is everybody going to think when they see me driving this kind of car? It's like, wow, But knowing that we were right on the edge, and then all of a sudden now all of our cars break down and we get another one, but it's this kind of car, is like
we can accept a lesser car.
That's right.
Right?
God, why would you give me something that I've always wanted to drive? And it's like, but you kind of like have this kind of like, well, how do I say that to God when he's blessing me with something like this?
Yes.
But
yes.
I feel so bad, because what is everybody else going to think when they see me drive a car like this?
Yes.
I've had to get to the mindset of, God has blessed me. Thank you, God. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Let me just use this to your glory.
Amen.
And that's why.
Yeah.
You know, my friend goes, I heard you say in your sermon that you hid out for 3 weeks, that you didn't drive by the church, because we didn't. I used the old car to drive by the church.
Because I saw your new car and I was like, wow, that's great. She's got a new van. This is wonderful. She needs it. I'm like, Colin, you see, she got a new van. This is wonderful. But it's like, when I hear your sermon, I'm like, oh, people are so horrible. It's so horrible. Why would they do that?
But it's me, because, you know, God had to talk sense into me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I used Uncle Tom.
Right.
Uncle Tom, who I blessed with finances.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I used Uncle Tom to give you this. And you are skirting the church that I have brought you to. What are you doing? You're supposed to be, said you dedicated this car to me in the dealership parking lot, and yet you don't want to drive it for fear of perception.
What people are going to say, crazy,
again.
Right?
And I'm just like, And so, you know, so my friend told me, she goes, let me spin it to you another way. Can you think, she goes, yes, you're blessing people now, but can you think about the people who missed out on the blessing in the first 3 weeks? And I said, I don't understand. What are you talking about? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And she said, because everyone knows that you're driving rust bucket and lemon car. And then for the first 3 weeks, because your inner euphoria is there, because you have this, you're like, hallelujah, God, but you're afraid. Yeah. And can you imagine if somebody had seen you in the first 3 weeks and been down in the dumps or bitter and angry at God because God hadn't answered their prayer of need or whatever, and you turn up and they're like, whoa, Pastor Jen, how'd you get that car? And that was your opportunity to go.
Yes.
Let me tell you what God has done. And then they'll be thinking like, oh, this is what I'm going through right now. And it may not be a car, but whatever it is they're going through, they're like, oh, Jesus, you can still bless and do miracles. Yes. She goes, you had 3 weeks of missed opportunity.
That's right.
I'm just like, why you gotta go make me feel like that?
I know.
She's like,
a good friend,
saying,
man. She's a good friend.
She's like, I'm just saying, get out of your head.
Yeah.
And God blesses us accordingly to what he sees that we need, sometimes even more. And he blesses us specifically to do specific things
for him.
And we're so busy looking at the other lane or busy worried about the people that are yammering in the back.
Yep.
Who cares? He goes,
that's right.
Jen, you're always going to have haters.
Always.
Yeah,
Every single place you go, you're going to have haters. Whether they're going to hate you because you don't mind driving your lemon car and rust bucket.
Yes.
and you don't mind that lemon car and rust bucket is sitting in a parking lot full of Jettas and Beamers whatever. You don't mind that?
Absolutely.
So, they're either gonna hate you for that, or they're gonna hate you because Uncle Tom says, I'm gonna give you something. goes, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where the hate's mm-hmm. going to come, because the Satan is here. The hate's going to be there. But yep. the thing is, what are you going to do? Are you going to stop your ministry? Stop the joy that yep. God has given you? Mm-hmm. And are you going to go, no, I'm going to pull back. I'm not going to share this one. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to share that one because mm-hmm. someone might feel bad. She goes, who, they see, everybody sees you have 5 kids. Everybody does wonder. And they ask you all the time, how are you making it?
Yeah.
And you always say, I don't know, but God, you yeah. know, and she goes, and you were maybe a little too honest in saying, I'm driving up with a new van, but I don't know how I'm going to pay my kids' bills. She goes, because that's a perception. That's outside perception, right? Yeah. How are you doing that? But yeah. you owe me money or yes. or whatever.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And they don't know, and they don't know what God is doing, mm-hmm. and you're keeping mum because you're afraid.
Yes.
God's pulling you out of that mindset and say, I have a gift for you that yeah. is free with no strings attached.
Yep.
And can you use it, please? And yes. not be afraid to use
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Powerful lesson. Oh, my there we goodness.
Go. Sermon number 3.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to understand, God does nothing. God never downgrades. He's going to always upgrade.
Man, he doesn't make a mistake.
He does not. He knows. That's why I say he knows. Mm. We just have to get past that public perception and live in the moment of blessings.
Mm.
That's it.
Yes, we do. You ever wonder, like, when you have trials, right? Mm. Sometimes your trials are of the same nature.
Yes.
Every mm-hmm. single yes. time, right? Yes. It could be your kid, or money. I never, ever have money. For me, it's car after car after car is breaking down. And I have questioned over the years, Lord, why have we never had a car go past a 3-year mark? Why have we always, and I know because we're buying old cars or people are giving us old cars. And I know that's part of it, you know, the oldness of it and the maintenance and so forth. That's part of it. But Father, why have we gone car after car? So when I'm thinking about this and, you know, first year we're here, we had Rust Bucket, and then we come up and we have Lemon Car. And now someone is, Uncle Tom's calling and say, hey, you, I'm just looking at you. How are your cars doing? And I, it's become a game. And I told him it became a game between me and Armando as we're driving food drives in Lemon Cars. It became a game to see how, okay, you know, it's going to take 50 minutes before the car's going to begin to overheat. No. It's going to take 20. You know, so we're like, okay, well, where are we going to meet here? Goodness. You know, we're going to hear, yeah. okay, we're going to pull over now, stop, pour in water, pour in fluid. Okay, and then we're going to go. And so that has been a game. It's been a game to see, well, how many times can we slam Rust Bucket closed? Because now we have to slam them closed so that the lock catches. How many times can we slam Rust Bucket closed and pieces of Rust Bucket fall to the cement? Right? So it's been a game, like, you know, how long are these cars gonna last?
Exactly.
And so Uncle Tom's asking, you know,
uh-oh,
Pastor Jen, how are your cars? And I'm like, oh, I mean, they're fine. And he goes, no, really, how are your cars? So I explained, oh, it's this, because this is what I want to do for you. And so, you know, I'm thinking about it, and in my perception, I'm like, oh, we're good. I mean, really, we are good, because these are going to fall apart sometime. We're all good. And he's like, okay, but this is what I want to do for you. Please think on it. Please accept this, because I've been praying about this for a year or nearly a year. Oh, and wow. I realized, and I asked my friend this last night, you know how God gives us the same problem all throughout. I go, tell me something. Think about this. When we finally come to a realization that, you know, I don't care. I can keep driving these cars until they're dust. Is it that psyche? Is it when God goes, you get it now? Because when I came to him, and I'm telling the giver, I'm telling Uncle Tom, it's okay, Uncle Tom, we're good. We really are good. I mean, truly, we are good. Because we know these cars are going to fall apart. We got 1 or 2 years left on these, maybe, but we're good. I go, is it right there when God, when we come to that realization with God and we say, all right, God, whatever, whatever. And then God goes, you get it now?
You get now it now. Here you go.
Here you go.
Always, always. Mindset is totally different. Yeah. That's what it is.
Wow.
All right, this has been good. We could talk all day on this.
I know. I just, we don't normally get 5 sermons in a podcast.
I know, right?
Only Pastor Jen can do that. Well, yeah, we want to thank you for that, Pastor Jen. I mean, you know, from Rust Bucket to Lemon Car to 2019, that's nothing but an upgrade.
So powerful.
Nothing but an upgrade. You've been blessed. You've been blessed. It's a blessing. It's pure. With us in our family, the plantation, because you've done so much. So continue to bless into Armando and kids, and just keep striving.
Yeah.
That's all we ask.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Don?
No.
Okay, Pastor, take us home.
Yeah. All right, pray for us, Pastor.
All right. Father God, thank you so much for your lessons that come even after the sermon has been preached, Father, for dawning realities of the blessings that you have given us. Father, in this season, when we celebrate you, Father, let it not just be for just this season. As we celebrate you, let this celebration be for all seasons, Father, that we take this free gift, Father, this free gift of your forgiveness, of your salvation, of your restoration, this free gift of you, Father, and in realizing too where you have had to change my perception of my worthiness of accepting not only the car but your gifts toward me personally, Father, that this is all the realization that we all have to come to, Father, that you have blessed us with everything that we could possibly need, and we are worthy of your love. We are worthy of your gift. We are worthy of what you did for us on that cross, Father. And so because we are worthy, let us be able to spread your love throughout not just this Christmas season where we remember you, but let us spread your love throughout all seasons to our brothers and sisters, Father, who need you the most. Let us be able to spread that love to them and all the world. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Jen, I know you'll probably got a checklist of things you're going to do today. So,
I do.
No, but thank you for all you've done, what you continue to do. I understand that the Baptist yesterday.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. I heard it was a wonderful.
It was a nice baptism.
Beautiful baptism.
Yeah. So we congratulate you for the candidate.
Yes.
To all our podcasters, we thank you for taking the time to listen. Any questions, concerns, any comments, send it to via WhatsApp 954-388-8780. And Don, as always, you always ask the best questions.
Yes, she does.
The best.
Thought provoking. You're like, oh wait, how do I answer that?
Yeah, like. All right, guys. I hope you have a wonderful day. It's good weather outside today, so enjoy it.
It is.
I just want to say, if you receive a gift from someone, don't worry about the ways and means or how they got it. Worry about the fact that God had placed it on someone's heart, no matter what denomination it gave you. And don't worry about public perception. Just thank God. That's what's really important. And then pass it on. Pay it forward.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
All right. Bye-bye.